Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Richard Dawkins, he's a well-known evolutionist author. He's got a new book out called The God Delusion. And to help me talk through this book, we have a creationist author and speaker from Ocean Springs, Mississippi. His name is Pete Fisk. Pete, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on. Pete, there's a lot about you and your activism I want the audience to get to know. But could we start by diving right in? Richard Dawkins is one of the best-known evolutionist authors in the world, and he's got this book out, The God Delusion. Could you give us a sense of what this book is all about?
Yes, Bob. Richard Dawkins, in case your audience isn't aware, is probably the best-known spokesman for atheism in the world today. And the book, the title, just says it all. And I want to quote a page from a page here where he just sums up his feeling of the God that we all worship as Christians,
okay,
the true God of the universe. On page 31 of the book,
okay,
he says,
hey, Pete, the book is The God Delusion, right?
Correct.
And
correct.
This book is being promoted in the secular world. Barnes & Noble is trying to, you know, sell it like no other book. So,
yeah.
Okay, so page 31 of The God Delusion, what does Richard Dawkins write?
Okay, he writes, the God of the Old Testament, Yahweh, is arguably the most unpleasant character in all fiction. And there he kind of goes into what he believes. He calls God fiction, okay? Jealous and proud of it, he says God is, a petty, unjust, unforgiving control freak, a vindictive, bloodthirsty, ethnic cleanser who is homophobic and racist and genocidal, pestilential, megalomaniac, sadomasochistic, capricious, malevolent bully. Now, that's the God I worship. That's the creator of the universe. And
right.
To me, that is a very offensive and vindictive, hate-filled, intolerant statement.
Of course. And, you know, evolution is promoted by atheists who say that they only use the laws of science.
That's right.
And you know what's interesting? The laws of science say absolutely nothing about justice or mercy or love or kindness. So Richard Dawkins is masquerading as an expert, and he's talking about things that his scientific background would inform him nothing whatsoever.
Exactly.
Right.
He's not even a philosopher. He's an evolutionary biologist by training, a zoologist.
Okay.
So he's way out of his field here. He's just stating his personal opinion.
The thing is that there are bookstores, we're going to talk about Barnes & Noble, but they go overboard promoting this book.
They do indeed.
Right. And so let's talk through just that quote, his accusation that the God of the Bible, the God of the Old Testament, is jealous and proud of it, petty, unjust, a control freak, and so on. I'd like to spend just a moment talking about some of those accusations. You know, the Bible says God is a jealous God. And someone who is jealous, like I'm married, and I am not about to share my wife with anyone else.
Amen.
And if I were to do that, that would show that I was a despicable husband.
That would show that you were a moral lowlife, quite literally. And
yeah.
The Lord is clear on moral purity. You know, God meant marriage to be between one man and one woman for one life, not multiple partners, not any other configuration.
Yeah, and so God is a jealous God in that He has created us. We are His children, unless we rebel against Him. And He wants to have a love relationship with us, and He doesn't want to throw it out.
That's right.
So, and then he goes on to say that God is unjust, but Richard Dawkins is an atheist. He has no foundation upon which to determine absolute right and absolute wrong.
No foundation whatsoever, Bob. An atheist's foundation, moral foundation, is based totally on their own belief system,
yeah,
whatever feels good for them. Now, just to be fair, there are a lot of atheists. We can slam atheists.
Yeah.
I know atheists who are very decent people and who
yeah,
try to live by the golden rule, so to speak. But there are a lot of atheists who don't think this way. Joseph Stalin was one. Pol Pot would be another. Mao Zedong would be another. These men were atheists. And these men lived out their worldview by murdering millions of people in the name of atheistic communism. So we see that if you have no God, if you have no moral, absolute moral foundation, the act of living a moral life, of living according to Christian, Judeo-Christian principles, is a purely arbitrary decision on your part.
And so when an atheist says that the God of the Bible is unjust, the atheist doesn't believe in absolute right and wrong. So
that's
what his
personal opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, right. So what he really means is it goes against his preference. And he has no real reason to expect anyone else to abide by his preference. So he is not in a position to judge the creator of the universe. So when he says that God is unjust for destroying wicked people, typically atheists approve of the very wickedness that God sees as destroying lives.
That's true, Bob. Very true.
So, and just a couple others. He says God is a control freak. I guess by that he means that God loves us enough to warn us, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not lust.
Do not molest children, do not murder.
Right, exactly. And when he says that God is homophobic, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Exactly.
And God knows that homosexuality destroys people physically and emotionally and spiritually.
Exactly.
All right. Okay, so we know where he's coming from right at page 31 with that quote of a vicious emotional attack against the God of the Bible. Now, Barnes & Noble, before we go on with the book, you told me about Barnes & Noble's obsession with promoting Dawkins' book, The God Delusion. But you had a confrontation with your local bookstore.
When my kids were smaller, we used to go to Barnes & Noble bookstore in Mobile, Alabama, which at the time was the only Barnes & Noble bookstore in our area. And we were there on a Saturday afternoon and just browsing around. And I happened to be walking through the bookstore, and I just happened to notice the sign. If you go to a Barnes & Noble, you'll see there are different categories of books like science or theology or Christianity. They have it marked off, fiction,
right,
nonfiction, so on and so forth. I seen a sign that said gay and lesbian studies, so that kind of caught my eye. So I walked over there, and I seen this one book that just kind of stuck out, and I can't remember the exact name of the title, but it was a book that was promoting, it had drawings in it, which showed male homosexual sex acts. And it was on eye level, which meant that any kid, 10, 12 year old kid could have walked up, picked up the book and looked at it.
Right.
I picked up the book, and my jaw hit the floor literally when I seen the filth that was in the book, and it showed. I'm not even going to mention it on the air, Bob.
No, I appreciate it too, Pete.
Yeah, but to make a long story short, I brought this to the attention of the manager, and the manager said, "Well, there's not a whole lot we can do about it." And I said, "Well, look," I said, "you got Playboys and Penthouse magazines behind the counter with a cover on them." I said, "Can't you do the same for this book?" "Well, that's not the way, our district manager and all said that we ought to display this book." And I said, "Well, can't you at least put shrink wrap on it to make sure my kids are running around this store. I don't want them to see this kind of filth." And the guy said, "Well, I'll tell you what, why don't you, I'll give you the number of my district manager, and you can take it up with her." And I said, "Well, fine." And I did. I also went to the Mobile County District Attorney's Office.
Good for you.
Which is something they didn't expect. And
right.
and I voiced my opinion and told them what happened. And I said, "Don't you people have decency laws in this community?" And the person I talked to, which was an assistant DA, said, "Yes, we do." And he said that they would send an investigator to look at it, to check it out. And they did. And they gave me a call a short time thereafter saying that they sent an investigator, and he looked at the book, and he said that they told the store manager that they had obscenity laws, and that this book violated the obscenity laws of Mobile, of the state of Alabama and Mobile County, and told them to at least put shrink wrap on the book. So they removed the book temporarily. But then the short time thereafter, I got a phone call from the district manager at Barnes & Noble out of Atlanta, Georgia, and she was flying in from Atlanta to Mobile just to meet with me.
Wow.
To talk about this book. And we did. We met shortly thereafter, and the lady, she was a very pleasant person, and she gave the old party line. "Well, we don't believe in censorship, but, and then she said, we're good members of the community. We want your business and all this stuff, and we're going to remove the book." So they did. But as far as I know, this is the only store they removed the book from. I couldn't speak for any other store.
I'm sure that's right, Pete. But you know what? In this day and age, that goes down as a major accomplishment. that you did, and it might, who knows, you know, it could help one or two people there in your community, not even kids, not get sucked down into that lifestyle.
Sure.
You know, the liberals, they always say we're against censorship. And here at Bob and Yurt Live, we sell materials, and we had a relationship with Amazon.com. And, you know, Amazon.com, they have sold pedophile books.
Exactly.
That teach men how to molest children and how to get away with it, like one book called Pedophilia, The Radical Case. And when homosexuals protested to Amazon that Bob and Yurt Live is against homosexuality, which we are, because it's destructive, it destroys people.
And it's anti-biblical.
Yeah.
God calls it an abomination.
Yeah, God tells us in the Bible that it's sinful, it's evil, it destroys. That's why he said it's wrong, because it leads to death, it destroys people. And so Amazon.com cut off Bob and Yurt Live, as we could not be affiliated with them, and they will tell the world, oh, we don't believe in censorship,
yeah,
and that's why we sell pedophile books. But here's somebody proclaiming biblical morality, that God made us male and female, and we'll cut them off.
Oh, we can't have that, yeah.
Right, but we'll continue to sell pedophile books.
Yeah. That's a double standard, Bob, and it just goes to show you how intolerant the liberal secular left is when it comes to actually putting their words into practice.
Right, exactly. B. Dalton was selling a couple books of basically pornography, child pornography, published by homosexuals, filled with scores of kids, naked kids, under puberty, through puberty. And so friends of mine, not only here in Denver, but around the country, we'd go into B. Dalton bookstores and get those books. They're very expensive. You know, homosexuals would buy them and put them on their coffee tables.
Yeah.
And we would literally rip them up in the bookstores. We would rip them up. We'd tell the manager we're there. We're going to rip them up. My wife and I went to the store in Cherry Creek here in Denver, upscale mall, and we asked the security guards at the mall to come into the store because they're selling child pornography. And the security guard said, well, there's nothing we can do about it. So, but at least some Christians did something. They destroyed the books, which was appropriate.
Amen, Bob. And you and whoever else should be commended for that in your community, for being a beacon of light, for being salt and light, for living out your faith in such a way that honors the Word of God. And I would just encourage Christians. We have a lot of Super Walmarts in our area. If you go through a Super Walmart and you see one of these tabloids with an immoral picture or something saying President Bush is gay, you know, something that is offensive to you, bring it to the attention of your store manager.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
They listen to you. The dollars talk.
That's right. Now, by the way, an indication that what we did was right at these Barnes, at these B. Dalton bookstores, is that the management of the company put out a procedure nationwide that they were not to call the police on anyone who was destroying these books in their stores. Because hey, when child pornography is one of the most destructive influences in society, utterly destructive.
And yeah, I've got to ask, you know, Bob, then what is the foundation? What would make a person want to justify this kind of thing? And it's a philosophy of humanism based on your own preference. You know, there is no God. There are no absolutes.
Right.
And if Christians don't wake up and stop being apathetic and say and take a stand, and I think this issue of apathy in the church, you know, we're going to get judged for that. America is on judgment. There's no doubt in my mind.
Well, look at the ACLU actually supports the legalization. They support the legalization of child pornography. The ACLU, they believe that it should not be legal to create it unless you're creating it via animation, so that you're animating, which they can do very well these days. They believe that you should have the right to publish child pornography, distribute it, profit from it, purchase it, get addicted to it. And even if you're using animation so that it looks like homosexuals are gang raping a little boy, they think that should be legal and they defend it. And we had a Republican Supreme Court rule, 7 of the 9 justices nominated by Republican presidents rule that if child pornography is animated, then it should be legal.
Yeah, it makes you wonder who our allies are.
Yeah. Okay, so could we get back now
Sure.
To Dawkins' book, The God Delusion. So Barnes & Noble, they were promoting this book?
Yeah, well, I tell you, they implicitly, I would suggest that they were really pushing this book. And the reason I say that, I walked into the store, and the first time I ever seen the book, they had maybe two copies of it in the science section. And I looked at the book, and I said, oh, another book by Richard Dawkins. And I opened it up and read it, and I shook my head. But then the next time I walked into Barnes & Noble, they had like 15 or 20 copies, and they had a bunch of them stacked by the science section, and then they had maybe 10 or 12 of them right there when you walk in the store, and they had big, stickers on them saying 30% off plus 10% off if you're a Barnes & Noble member, and I'm a Barnes & Noble member, you know, so I could have got the book for 40% off the ticket price, which I believe is $27.
Right, and what are they doing putting the book in the science section when it's a philosophical diatribe against God?
Because it's Richard Dawkins, and because it's evolution-based, and he goes into some area. You know, I read through the book, and there's some areas where he does cover evolution his idea of NEMS and all this, you know, gobbledygook. But to make a long story short, it is a philosophical diatribe against God. But it's Richard Dawkins. He's an evolutionary biologist, so they automatically put it in the science section. But they also, but more insidious than that, at Christmas time, the time when we worship the birth of our Lord and Savior, they push this book on not only in their stores, but on their website, saying this book is recommended. If you go to their BarnesandNoble.com and look up The God Delusion, they'll say this is a recommended book right there by next to the...
You know what? I have it right on my computer, right here on my screen. Recommended holiday gift, The God Delusion. So that's Barnes & Noble's idea of a nice Christmas gift. They got it wrapped up with a beautiful package and a red bow. Recommended holiday gift, The God Delusion, which is just a hatred against the God of the Bible.
Right.
All right.
Exactly.
So do you have a... I was hoping we could get through five quotes from the book.
Yeah. Well, I do have... there are more quotes here. On page 19... Richard Dawkins goes ahead, and he says, I wish physicists would refrain from using the word God in their special metaphysical sense. The metaphysical or pantheistic God of physicists is light years away from the interventionist, miracle-wreaking, thought-reading, sin-pounding, prayer-answering God of the Bible. To deliberately confuse these two, in my opinion, is an act of intellectual high treason. So he's taking his fellow humanist scientist to task for even like Einstein said, and Stephen Hawking, who I believe is an atheist, said that, you know, they seek to think that the thoughts of God. Well, we know that they're not talking about the true God of the Bible. They're just talking about a generic God, small g, of their own making.
Yeah, and Spinoza's God.
Right, and which was the God that Einstein basically believed in, and it's funny that, you know, the word God is being thrown around by a lot of secular scientists who may or may not be atheists, but to Dawkins the idea of even mentioning the word God is so repulsive he takes them to task for that,
right.
And it just goes to show the hatred, the deep seated hatred that this man has for the true God of the Bible. Basically, and for Christians and Christianity, you know, you don't hate something you don't believe doesn't exist. I don't hate pixies and fairy tale and fairies and fairy godmothers.
Elves and dwarfs and...
Right. I mean, because they don't exist. I would hate some, if I do, and I don't hate, I try not to hate my fellow man, but you hate something you know exists and you don't like. Well, Richard Dawkins hates the God of the Bible. Well, he hates the message that the Bible teaches, the Word of God, for whatever personal reasons he has. And he couches his hate, he cloaks his hate in the veneer of science, and that's what's so insidious. And so many young, you know, so many college students and people who are spiritually on the fence who simply don't know, you know, who are searching will read this book and will become... you know, we'll be misled by this book, led astray. And, you know what Jesus said about leading young people astray, it'd be better if a millstone would be hung around their neck and them drowned in the deepest sea. I hate to be Richard Dawkins on Judgment Day if he doesn't repent.
Yeah, you're not kidding. I'd hate to be Richard Dawkins today even. Now, we're talking to Pete Fisk. You could find his contact information at his website, DarwinRefuteIt.com. That's a great domain name there, DarwinRefuteIt.com. Pete, we just got done recording a week's worth of shows with Dr. Walt Brown, creation scientist.
I'm familiar with Dr. Brown.
Yeah, and we're going to be airing those in January 9th through the 12th.
I'll be listening.
Hey, pretty neat. Thank you. Well, I got to tell you, there is so much exciting progress in the creationist front, so much that we have been uncovering, finding out, even that the atheists have been learning that go to support the creator God of the Bible, that I think we're going to see these evolutionists in emotional meltdown.
I think the entire edifice of Darwinism, which still controls secular academia, is beginning to rot, Bob. We see that. The evidence, I mean, every time a new discovery, we see the complexity of life from the molecular level on up. You know, we see, you know, I'm an engineer by training. We see, you know, engineers are actually consulting biology, so to speak, to mimic nature's design.
Yeah, to figure out how to better make
exactly, because
products.
Our designs are so inferior to what God has designed,
like
and purposefully designed.
Like to a bug.
Exactly.
We can't, with our greatest minds and our ultimate achievement, we can't come near to making something as good as a bug.
We can't even make something as complex as a prokaryote or a bacterial cell, Bob. A single-celled organism is so incredibly complex. The protein machines, the enzymes, that all interact to work to make this a living thing for cellular respiration, for reproduction.
And
you
know what's funny,
Pete?
When we find the most simple organisms, tiny little organisms that we can now decode their entire genome, all their DNA, even if we assemble all that and we assemble it in a molecule, it's still just a dead molecule. We can't make it alive. Even if we make it's just dead.
Exactly. Jonathan Wells made this point. Dr. Jonathan Wells, who's the intelligent design theorist who wrote the book Politically Incorrect Guide to Darwinism and the Icons of Evolution, I heard him on a video, and he said, you know how I know that there has to be a creator? He basically said this. He said, I can take all the cells, all the complex molecules that are within a cell, I can puncture that cell's membrane, and I'll have all the elements that I need oozed out into that solution in my test tube to make a cell. But you know what? I can't put those back together again and make that cell alive.
Right.
He said, that's how I know that the primordial soup, the very beginning of what life evolved in, a primordial ooze, if you will, of organic chemicals,
right,
organic slop, as I call it, can't form a living creature. I don't care how many billions of years you give it. And I think our mutual friend, Fred Williams,
who is the webmaster for Creation Research Society.
Fred made that point on one of your shows that you know, the statistical impossibility of even getting one protein. Dr. Fred Hoyle, who is not a Bible-believing Christian by any means, he was an atheist, and he made the calculations of getting one molecule of one cell by chance processes, and it was one chance in 10 to the 50 or 40,000th power. That's 40,000 zeros before one.
That's trillions of universes every second, and it's not going to happen. And not only that, when you have a decomposing body, you got all the chemicals for life there that you need in billions of cells, but no life springs out of the dead body.
Exactly. And I've been to funerals, and I've seen people who are dead, and I've seen the shell of the person. Mm-hmm. All the chemicals that are still, that make that person a living, the complex chemistry,
right,
has basically ceased. But that is just a shell.
Yeah.
The real essence of who we are is spirit.
Right, our soul spirit.
Right.
Hey,
and depending
Pete,
upon, yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but we only have a few minutes left. Do you have one more quote we could do?
Yes, sir. Let me see here.
Okay, pick out a good one for us, and this is Pete Fisk. You could find him at DarwinRefuteIt.com.
Yeah, let me just, on page 283, Dawkins makes this statement: as a scientist, I am hostile to fundamentalist Christians because their religion actively debauches the scientific enterprise. It teaches us not to change our minds and not to want to know exciting things that are available to know. It subverts science and saps intellect.
All right, and Pete Fisk, we know that that's a scam because modern science was born out of the cradle of Christianized Europe, and so many of the fathers of the physical sciences like Johann Kepler, Isaac Newton, and many of the fathers of the sciences after Darwin rejected naturalistic origins and believed even in explicitly in the God of the Bible.
They sure did.
Yeah.
In fact, Kepler was the one who quoted, "I do science because I want to think God's quote, God's thoughts after him."
Amen. And he's the father of modern science.
Well, he's one of the fathers. I mean, Johannes Kepler was a Bible, was a Christian. Isaac Newton was a Christian. He wrote more about theology and God than he did about physics, and he's the father of calculus and classical physics.
And you know what? Richard Dawkins knows all this. He knows that the historians of science have done a 180 in the last 20 years, identifying Christianity as the fertile ground in which modern science sprung up from. So he's an atheist. So he's a liar.
He is a liar.
So, of course, he's willing to lie about God and the influence of Christianity on science.
I kind of think that Richard Dawkins is probably deluded. You know, he likes the God delusion. Well, he's actually a victim of atheistic delusion, which comes from the devil. You know, Bob, I was an agnostic for many years, and without going into my testimony, which is a story in itself, I would just say that my main philosophical objection to becoming a Christian before I did in 1990 was my belief in evolution. Mm-hmm. And evolution has led so many young people into a life of debauchery and atheism and ultimately to hell.
That's right, because what do you have to live for if it's all over and if it feels good, do it. Hey, Pete Fisk, thank you so very much for joining us.
Thank you, Bob, for having me.
You're welcome. May God bless you. That's Pete Fisk and his website, DarwinRefuted.com. In January, here at Bob and Yurt Live, we'll be presenting some New Year's resolutions for how you can get yourself and your family educated, right up to speed on how to witness to others, how to understand the Bible, how to grow spiritually. It's going to be an exciting new year here at Bob and Yurt Live. We'd like to invite you to join us. And remember, January 9th through 12th, we have four programs with Dr. Walt Brown right in a row. And then that Friday, we'll take your calls on his fascinating scientific work. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. What a great school. Check them out. Maranatha.